This is Paul McGann.
The Eighth Doctor, you're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio. Go and throw yourself under a bus.
I didn't mean to say that. He told me to say that.
This is Gallifrey Public Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of Doctor Who. We travel through classic and new episodes, explore the extended universe, and play a few games from time to time. We do discuss news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but we'll warn you before anything considered spoilers comes up.
Welcome to episode 417 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where the only thing worse than a hostile bartender is a hostile drink. I'm Jay.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Kier. This week, we somehow make it past the Jadoon bouncers into the roughest bar this side of the Mos Eisley Cantina. It's Whovian mixology time again.
So the last time we played this game, if you want to call it that, it's more of a challenge. We tried to find a drink that best suited each incarnation of our Doctor.
This time, we're going with iconic recurring adversaries of the Doctor. But the premise is the same. The drinks can be alcoholic or non, famous, or a craft entirely to our own.
Now, just like last time, we really, really encourage you to chime in on social media and let us know what you would submit for these same character categories. Our Doctor's drinks that we came up with were pretty good, and we're pretty proud of them. But some of your submissions we got after the fact were nothing short of inspired. So that said, let's belly up to the bar and we get started.
Cheers. Now,
a little prior, I gave the list over to our squad here and also posted out there on social media, and a couple of people winced and said, oh, no, they're doing it again. So yes.
Hey. We came up with a few that we actually like and have purchased on many an occasion the ingredients for.
That's true. Yeah, we've made a few of them long after the fact. Yeah, they've become part of our sort of regular repertoire here, for as long as the pandemic continues. Maybe we'll go back to drinking normal things once we walk away from our strangely stocked bar cabinets. But yeah, well, not really. So here's what's going to happen. We've got a number of categories here to go through, and we will be sort of switching them up as far as who goes in which round, and just give a little bit of explanation as to why you selected that particular beverage. We keep saying drink, but beverage is really more appropriate. Drink sort of connotates that it has to have alcohol, and it really doesn't.
You can drink a drink, but you can drink a beverage.
That's right. Yeah.
But you can't beverage a drink.
Yeah.
Weird.
Anyone can roast beef, but not everyone can pea soup. Okay, so.
That, listeners, is not the first time I've heard that in the last month.
It's one of my favorite jokes. Anyway. Okay, so we're starting strong. We're coming right out of the gate on this one with our most famous villain, and that is the Daleks. So, Jay, I'll give this one to you first. What have you got for the Dalek drink?
All right. So I'm going to tell you what goes into this first. So we have an ounce of pear-flavored vodka, an ounce of Avalon Calvados.
Okay.
An ounce of Zante liqueur, and then 2.5 ounces of apple juice, cloudy pressed. And you pour this into a Collins glass with an apple or pear slice. So you've got a nice kind of fruity drink here that looks kind of a yellowish green thing. And I mainly picked it because it's called a long flight of stairs.
Oh, okay. That's it.
Nice. Yeah.
Before you can elevate. Got it. I like it. All right. Julie, what'd you come up with for the Daleks?
All right. So I went with a Moscow Mule, not because of what's in it, but because you put it in a copper cup. And it just seemed appropriate. The copper cups that we have sort of the round things that you could say are
the little dimples.
Yeah, the egg.
That look like Dalek bumps.
Yeah.
They're called Dalek bumps.
So, however, or further two more, I think that...
Further two more.
There are all sorts of variations that have just taken off with Moscow Mules. So you can have a cherry flavor, a lemon, an orange, a mint, a berry, a vanilla. So that being said, it sort of plays into the fact that the Daleks over time have had so many different variations, as well as the Skittles Daleks, which I feel like you could have some of those flavors come up in your Moscow Mule mixes. So that is... That's why I chose them.
It works. It absolutely works. I get it. And the aesthetic definitely ties in. I went more on what's on the inside than what's on the outside. So I figured, and if you've never had these, they're actually really, really good. Go ahead and get yourself a Bloody Mary shot with an oyster. The surprising slimy sensation that slides right down.
Can confirm they are delicious.
With that good squeeze of lemon, so you just get a little bit of pain on the way. So, you know, it just, you know, it just rings true for our little Dolly friends. Keeping it iconic here, let's just move directly to the Cybermen. Julie, I'll give you the first one on this.
Okay. I went with a Silver Fizz.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
what is a Silver Fizz?
I know. So, Silver Fizz is recommended Grey Goose, two parts. It's got some pear juice, an egg white, a little bit of lemon, vanilla syrup, and you shake all that up, and then you top it with a little sparkling water. So, it's got that, because of the egg white, sort of how it mixes in, it's very silvery in color, and then it's got some bubbles.
I get it. I you know, I've seen a bunch of drinks that put egg whites in. I don't think I've ever had one that did, but it's just,
I have. I've had a whiskey sour and they put egg whites.
You gotta make sure you shake it hard enough. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can,
otherwise you're just drinking raw eggs.
Right. So I'm thinking if we ever wanted to try it, we would do it with aquafaba instead of the egg white.
True.
And you would maybe blend it instead of just shaking.
Yeah, I think you'd have to. Yeah. But I don't know how that would react necessarily with some of the spirits or the effervescence that you're getting from that little bit of a spritzer there.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
Anyways.
Dry heaving, everybody.
It's served in a tall glass, and I feel that it would properly represent a Cyberman.
Gotta have it in a steel tumbler.
Yeah.
I decided for the Cyberman that I was just going to keep it really simple and go with a vanilla protein smoothie.
Oh.
Because it's completely lifeless and bland, but it's got all the necessary nutrients on the inside. What did you have, Jay?
So I figured, what's the point of drinking alcoholic beverages? It's to kind of mess with your system and enjoy the different sensations. So what's going to do that better for a Cyberman than Goldschlager?
Oh, yeah, well, nice. Yes. Yes, there you go. You know, get some
other
gold.
Options. Everclear. It's my second choice. Yeah,
just get some gold in your vents. That's all you need. Works on Mondas. This next one is sort of categorically in here, because we've sort of come to understand them better, or sort of reach a bit of an armistice, I guess you could say, for the Silurians. And I will also allow anyone who's going to be contributing from home, if you did want to also put the Sea Devils in there, I will accept that as well. So this could be, you know, your classic three-eyed Silurians. It could be your modern, you know, Madame Vostra Silurians, however you want to take it. But Jay, how did you handle our reptilian overlords?
So I definitely thought more classic Silurians. So this one is I'm scared of this drink, which is appropriate, but it's called a Jaeger Colada.
What?
Yeah, you're gonna mix Jaeger with fresh pineapple juice, fresh lime juice, coconut cream, matcha mint gimlet, gin, fresh lime juice, matcha tea, and simple syrup, and a handful of fresh mint leaves.
You owe the bartender a healthy tip just for having to run around behind the bar that much.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But it kind of creates this little, like, I don't know, like a yellow kind of creamy bit at the bottom with a nice green layer on top.
You're really, really winning me over on this one.
It's also another serving of greens upon your day, which I feel like the Silurians would support.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying this is what I thought of when I thought of Silurians.
Fair. Okay. All right. I decided to go with something called a lounge lizard, which actually it actually doesn't sound too bad. So it's your choice of cola, dark rum, amaretto, and then you can either go a little sweeter and throw a cherry in it, in which case you're kind of heading towards Sea Devil's territory on that one, or you can garnish it with a lime, in which case you're going more, you know, classic. You know, I should choose. But yeah, I think it sounds pretty good. I think you serve it in a Collins glass over ice, so I'd try one.
I'd definitely try that one over the Jaeger Colada, that's for sure.
And twice on Sundays, yes, absolutely. Julie, what did you do with the Silurians?
So I went a little more earthy, so I guess more modern Silurian. Under the earthy, yeah. So it's called a beet and rye.
B-E-E-T?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I'm not dropping no beets. This is a beet juice.
Oh, boy.
With sage syrup, rye, a little OJ, a little lemon juice, over sage ice cubes.
Again, a lot of preparation. Sage ice cubes.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically you end up taking, I think, 10 sage leaves. Half of them go into ice cubes, just the full leaf in an ice cube. So it's just, maybe it's a little bit more decoration than anything else, because you're then taking the other half of those sage leaves and making them into your simple syrup.
Okay.
So that's where your sage flavor comes from. But never had it, obviously, but it seems like it's very earthy. It also turns a very bright red color, because beets...
Sure.
So.
Well, it's not the only thing that's going to turn red.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but I think it sounds like it would taste good. And
yeah, it actually does.
And very earthy for a Silurian.
Sounds flare. Like a meal. So that and a bowl of rice, I think you're probably pretty well set. We're going to stay, as I said, we're staying with some of the paragons of villainy here, but we're gonna chill things out a little bit and go with our ice warriors. I'll take the first one on this one, mm-hmm. because I just, mm-hmm. this one immediately sprung to mind. You know, I thought, okay, ice warriors, you've got these cold-blooded, cold-hearted, really militant types, whether you... found them on the waters of Mars or somewhere under the polar caps and things like that. And I said, okay, I want cucumber water, ice cold. And it has to have cucumber chunks in it with skin. I want to see the green within the glass. Kept it that simple. Yeah. That's all I got. Because if it's really, really ice cold and you sip it through your teeth, you just, you know, that you get that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. Julie, what do you have for your ice warriors?
I went with something very different from that, with a caipirinha.
I've heard of this.
Yes, you have.
Okay. Does this have cachaça in it?
It does have cachaça in it.
I have such bad history with cachaça.
So a caipirinha is cachaça, which is a sugar cane liquor made in Brazil. It's Brazil's national drink, liquor.
Brazilians drink like immortals.
It is... that plus sugar and lime, and you muddle that with ice, and then I think top it. I think it's just that. So it's just a ton of lime juice and a ton of cachaça, and you serve it very cold.
Yeah.
So I felt that it's strong, not local to us anyway.
Not from around here. Yep, got it.
And something that you have, and then you go, I could live without that again.
Please don't make me do that again. All right. Cool. Jay, what'd you have for your ice warriors?
I found something a little bit more palatable this time.
Please.
Called a dry ice martini. So it's
like for vodka. Realsies?
Yeah.
Like
it's a vodka, Nelly Pratt extra dry, or Noilly Pratt, and Canadian ice wine.
Canadian ice wine.
So this is wine that is made with grapes that get frozen on the vine. So it creates a much richer, sweeter kind of flavor to it.
Wow. Okay.
I would like that. You would not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking through that flavor profile. Okay. Here's one. I had to mention this on social media because I had no idea exactly where we, let alone anyone else, would go with a drink that brings to mind the Zygons.
Zygon.
And I really hope that nobody really goes terribly literal on this unless you're making something that involves like Fruit Loops or Apple Jacks floating in your drink or something.
I looked up drinks Cheerios. Made with squid ink and then did not choose them, but I looked them up.
So what did you end up with?
All right. So what I ended up with was a Cosmopolitan. Huh. Because it's red.
Okay, yeah.
And also because they blend in anywhere. You can order a Cosmo anywhere you go, and they will know what you're talking about, and you will get the same drink every time.
That's a really good point, because 9 times out of 10, it comes out of a mixer bottle. There yes. you go.
So I figured that made sense, and it's got that little bit of a red tinge, which is the, normal Zygon state? The Zygon...
Reddish peach.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on how they were doing in the prop room that week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Jay, what did you have for the Zygons?
So I thought that they would appreciate a drink that claims to be one thing but is totally something different. So Long Island iced tea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
That's true. And the only way that you can tell which one is which is because you actually have to sample them all.
Exactly.
And then you regret it long afterwards.
Yeah. Or like some people I've known who've been like, oh, I'll have a Long Island iced tea and didn't realize it's... All alcohol. The alcohols and of Coke.
Yeah.
I went with a glass of bubble tea because it's got all the little squishy bits in it. And they're kind of slimy and gross when you get to them and you don't really want to touch it. And you can't tell from looking at it exactly what it is or what variety it is until you get closer than you needed to be. And then you might regret it afterwards. So yeah, boba tea. There you go.
Some people like the squishy bits.
I know. Well, some Zygons are there to love. We got Zygood. She's a lovable Zygon, whichever one she is. Mm-hmm. We don't know to this day.
In some of our audio stories, there was a Zygon with Eighth Doctor that
absolutely
existed that for 70 some odd years that with no issues.
That was Lucy Miller's auntie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who turned out to be, the Zygon who loved me. Yeah. In keeping with I can't tell one apart from another, and in keeping with the I'm really afraid to know what you're going to do with this.
It's not that bad.
It would be the Suntarans. So who's going to go first on this one? I'm losing track of the kind of the flip-up rotation here. Julie, I think I gave you the first Zygon. So Jay, I'm going to give you the first Suntarans.
So the obvious choice, I first started looking up vodka drinks because potatoes. But I thought, they seem more like, I don't know, it just, I envision them drinking White Russians.
Really?
I mean, especially since they have a little bit of coffee in there, because even when they're getting torn up, they want to be energized for battle. So,
yeah. That's true. All right. I went with a drink that is actually called, and I will go on record here to say that I will try this at some point. I will make someone else make it because I probably don't want these things in my house. But it's called an old potato. It is Applejack, which I never purchase. So
till now,
nope. I won't. I will. When everything goes back to the normal times, I will go to a bar and I will ask for this thing, and they'll have to make it for me because they will have no idea what this is. So Applejack, dry vermouth. Okay, so think where that's headed already. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of it is Irish whiskey.
Jameson?
Sure, take your pick. All right. Mm. So it's going to have that. Applejack is not... Note to anyone who is ever like trying to stock their first I just got out of college bar. Applejack is not sour pucker. Apple schnapps is not Applejack. Applejack is its own thing and has a very specific flavor profile and proof. You'll learn soon. So, Julie, where did you go with the Suntarans?
Well, I'm glad that neither of you went for the straight up vodka choice here. I went with a kamikaze shooter. So it's vodka, triple sec, and lime juice. shooter. Just vodka, shake it with ice and shot. So because they're tiny and compact, hence the shot of. And also, even if they were Centaurans, I feel like if they were drinking it, they would shoot it and go.
Right. Tap it twice in the bar.
Tap it twice, go. Run. So, yeah.
And you line up a whole row of them so it looks like a little phalanx of them, clone warriors. Yes.
And obviously, as Jay mentioned, potatoes, vodka. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, but I would go with a classy vodka. I wouldn't go with the basic.
I'm going to put a challenge out here to our listeners because I want somebody to come up with a drink. It can be a shot if you like, called a probic vent.
Oh, God.
That is such an assault on the sinuses that it feels like you are blowing your life force out of the back of your head. I put that to you. See what you can do with it.
Well, now you have to come up with one as well.
Yeah, and I will have a
And then everyone can compare notes.
That's right.
And then regardless of whether you want to buy the Applejack or not, you have to still try it.
And here you go. I'll do this on our YouTube channel. I'll do you one further. If somebody submits one that sounds so awesome that it could topple whichever one I come up with, I will reach out to that individual. We will get them live on camera, and we will post to our YouTube channel us trying each other's shots.
Your own shot and their shot, so you can compare.
Oh, two shots.
Two shots.
Okay, two shots. Always. Two to the head. Got it. Always two to the head.
Well, you never know if you're going to just, like, get that ping pong ball right in the spot.
Yeah, if you don't hit that vent dead on.
Doesn't work.
All right, so there you go. Challenges out there. Moving on, we're going with the silence. I'm just going to jump out in front of this one and say that the silence are just simply tequila. And that's all. Because you would swear that you were drinking. But... That's all I got.
Yep.
Julie, where did you go with the silence?
So, because I know you, I also went with something that that has tequila in it. However, I went with a very specific drink called the Paloma, because you've probably heard of it, and you never remember that you've heard of it. And
isn't that a horse?
See my point?
Yeah. I don't know. I was drinking something about a horse. Oh.
So, a Paloma is tequila and a grapefruit soda. Okay. So it can be made with syrup, grapefruit juice, and a lime juice, and then a little soda on top, since grapefruit soda is a little bit harder to find. So if you're trying to make it at home and you'd like that. But yeah, tequila in it means that you don't forget, and you also never remember. I'm saying that you do forget, sorry. And that you never remember that you ordered one at all, because what was that drink I had?
What'd you bring me this thing
What's
for?
This?
You just asked for another one. You've had five. What?
And also, you don't remember the name the next time you go to order it, because you're like, I kind of liked it, but I, what's it called? It's like that
horse. I want a Pamplona. No, bring me a potato.
Do you have drinks named after horses? Because I think that's what I like. And you're just never sure.
There you go.
So
all
that's
right.
Why.
Jay, bring us home on the silence. What did you choose for that?
I went with a drink called the Four Horsemen. Now, typically in most of the world, this is going to be it's going to be a double shot, half Jack, Johnny, Jim, and Jose. So,
My God, that's horrid.
No. And it wears a tuxedo.
Yes. Now, I learned while researching this that there is an Austin variant to this drink, which is Jaeger, Rumpelmintz, Goldschlager, and Bacardi 151. Either of these variations, you're not going to remember anything past that drink.
Fun fact. The many varieties of shark actually vomit into the ocean by inverting their stomachs out through their mouths. You will do the same after trying either one of these things. Okay, let's bring things back into some safe territory, or hopefully a little safer territory, and go with either, because they are sort of synonymous in their points of origin, the Nestine Consciousness or the Autons under their control. So, J, take the first on the Autons or Nesting Consciousness, whichever direction you choose, you chose to go.
So I went with the Autons, and I thought that a good drink for them would be Coquito, which is kind of like Puerto Rican eggnog. It swaps out the eggs for coconut cream, uses three different kinds of milk, throw it all into a blender with some spiced rum, dark rum, baking spices, that kind of thing. So it's got that creamy kind of plastic look to it, but it's not quite as strong as, or as powerful a flavor as eggnog. It's a little bit smoother and just basic. So.
Just right across the board. Totally beige. Got it. All right. Julie, what did you have for the Autons or the Nesting Consciousness?
Yeah, I sort of went I think more Autons. I went with a Long Island. I know it's been used already once, but I felt that it's one of those you just throw everything into it. Like you throw all the plastic into it and then it just becomes something else.
Right.
Yeah. And then because it's sort of that neutral color and also it's just sort of moderately strong, but you never know what kind of mix you're going to get.
True. Yeah. It is a good way to determine your bartender and how much they hate you.
Right. If it's a lot of that just sour, then...
Sour mix. Thanks.
Thanks a
lot. $18?
You're not sure. Yeah. And you don't know before you get into it how bad it's going to be.
It's true. All right. I kept with the Autons, and you are getting a 7-Eleven big gulp plastic tumbler full of straws. That's all you get.
Just the straws?
Nope. That's just the straws. Yeah. That's all it is.
Makes sense.
But when the Autons take over, you just...
I told you what you're getting. That's it. Next category. I'm gonna change the order on this a little bit because I want to save something for a little later. But let's go with our Weeping Angels selection. Okay, a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really know terribly much about them unless you want to just create a drink called an Angel Bob. The only one that we really got to know terribly well. But, Julie, what did you do with the Weeping Angels?
All right. I went for a drink called a Busy Bee.
Busy Bee.
It is a ransom Old Tom gin because of the name. Because they hold you for ransom.
Okay.
It's salted cucumber juice, honey, lemon, and a rosemary garnish. So I feel like it's more old-timey because they send you back in time. It just sounds to me more like a drink of the past.
Huh. That's a really interesting point.
Yeah. So cool. And then the honey and lemon sort of balance the sweet and the rosemary a little savory. So
it's salted cucumber thing that's throwing me. I'm like, I'm not really sure how that sort of fits
in. It's salted cucumber juice. So apparently what you do is you sort of shred the cucumber with salt, and it sort of brings out the flavors.
Oh, the stuff that sweats out. Oh.
And then you strain it through a cheesecloth to get the...
My God, you come up with some complicated drink. There's so many steps involved.
She really does, yeah.
I'm not saying that you have to go and make it. I'm saying this is what I would say the Weeping Angels represent.
I started making it in 1926, and here I am in 1974. I'm finally going to enjoy it.
Well, look, the salted cucumber also plays into the fact that probably all the people that the Weeping Angels touch cry a lot.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's the tears.
Because they don't know where they are. So they're going to drink this, and they may or may not have to get the salt from somewhere else. They could just salt their own cucumbers.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
That's
right. I rest my case.
Accepted. I went with something that takes far less time to put in front of your face hole, and I went with a pint of Guinness draft because the moment it's handed to you, you can't take your eyes off it. You just got to watch the cascade. And that's it. That's all.
And you drink it and it's gone.
As most beverages.
Yeah, but you blink and it's gone.
Yes, Julie, when you drink it, it's gone. It's called consumption.
I'm saying it goes down quickly.
Yeah, first couple do.
Well, you've got to chew it a little bit.
Yeah, they got to pour it. You get full before you get drunk, honestly. Okay, Jay, bring us in on the Weeping Angels.
So I kind of came up, the first thing that popped into my head, and I could not think of anything else that they might drink, Monster Energy.
Ooh.
I mean, they got a They move quick. They've got to,
got to keep up that energy. I like it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would also accept anything that left you petrified.
Right.
So, yeah, you go to either end of the spectrum on that. Either huge energy or absolutely.
And you drink enough monster energy drinks and you can see people's timelines.
That's true. You smell that purple? I smell that purple. We'll go back here and take the evil genius inventor himself, Davros. Julie, give me your first Davros.
All right. My Davros comes from Louisiana because you go to a bar called Spirits on Bourbon and they have a drink called the Resurrection that has lights at the bottom of it. And you don't know what went into it, really.
No.
But it's got Captain Morgan, Blue Curacao, lime juice, honey, 2 ounces of coconut water, for the electrolytes.
Yeah.
And then a fresh jalapeno garnish. And it's in this light up cup and it's blue and it lights up.
Sounds pretty good.
I read many a review. Some people praise it and some people curse it. I can't blame it either way. I think we should all go there and get them and report back.
Right.
Podcast field trip.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that is what I went with. And I feel that it also, the fresh jalapeno garnish just kind of gets you right at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that too. That little gotcha. Jay, what did you do for our masterful little mad inventor?
So I went with a drink called the Zombie. For obvious reasons. And also because it has a bunch of everything in it because Davros can't decide what actually makes the perfect Dalek. It's this and it's that and it's this and now it's this. And so this one is, the classic version of it requires, 3 types of rum, white grapefruit juice, lime juice, cinnamon syrup, some bitters, grenadine, like a whole bunch of stuff, so it's a nice, actually like fruity sweet drink, which if you've ever met any of the actors who've played Davros, it fits.
Sure. Yeah, so, they're very pleasant.
And if you drink enough of these, or if you drink one or possibly more of these, it will leave you feeling like you have one eye and one arm and, slightly listening to the, as if your chair were weird.
Yeah, yeah. You can spin in place without moving.
Exactly.
Yep. Can confirm. I decided that Davros was a glass of prune juice.
Oh.
The end. The end.
That's all. I don't know. Does unlimited rice pudding count as a beverage?
Well, prunes and rice pudding. Yeah. So now we're getting to the really fun part. You knew we had to tackle the master, but I left it up to each individual, and that includes all of you at home, to determine which regeneration of the master you wanted as the inspiration for your particular drink. So I would ask you to quantify that. Let me know exactly which iteration. That includes Missy, of course. I can even include Jeffrey Beavers if you wanted to and have, your sort of interim master. Who knows? Let's see. Flip it right around again. Jay, who did you have for which master did you choose and what was the drink that goes along with that iteration?
So I had Delgado in mind when I was coming up with this, but I truly think that this would fit most iterations of the master. It is a drink called The Last Word because he always wants it.
That's cool.
But it's a prohibition drink, which includes gin, chartreuse, maraschino liqueur, and lime juice. And then it's garnished with a brandied cherry.
That sounds kind of nice. It sounds a little bit like a gimlet that has a little maraschino sweetness added to it. Yeah, that works. Yeah. So it's kind of classy.
Yeah. Of all the drinks I came up with this time, I'm like, this is the one that I want to try quickest.
And as a prohibition drink, so it's probably served in speakeasies. You kind of had to know to be in the inn and that kind of thing. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right. I also went with the Delgado Master, but I actually, and I'll explain this, I went with an Irish car bomb. Okay. For those who are unfamiliar, bless you, because this is 2/3 of a pint of Guinness with a shot of typically Jameson's or another Irish whiskey plunged into it, and you throw the thing back as fast as you can humanly stomach it. This is the combination of smooth and harsh. And after you've had one, you probably make some other really bad choices, and it shrinks your liver. There you go. Julie, what did you, which master did you choose, and what's the drink that resulted?
So I went with the overall essence of the master and Missy. And I went with a drink called the Spicy 50. It is vodka, elderflower liqueur, honey, honey syrup specifically, red chili pepper, and lemon. It is a sweet sensation at first because you pick up on the elderflower and honey. Then you get a little citrusy fresh note. You go, ah, this is nice. And then you have a slight heat finish from the chili. The red chili peppers at the end. So it's sort of just the master. And also, it was invented in a pub in central London at a luxury casino in central London. So it all kind of ties together loops you right back
that works,
in.
Yeah.
And I really want to try one now. all of them, that is the one that I really want to try. I feel like you'd get the whole sweet, savory, salty heat.
Yeah, it does sound kind of cool. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The last category that we put out there was one where it was sort of an open forum where you could choose a one-off villain of your own. Now, I say one-off. If this was one that was sort of, it was a recurring villain, but only showed up in a handful of stories or something, that's fine too. It's just not, we're not talking one of your, you know, your repeat lunchbox legends, you know. So, let's see. Julie, I'll turn this right back around to you again and ask you who your villain of choice was and the drink that you applied to them.
Can I do two? Because they're super simple.
Is it the same villain for both?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do I have to pick? Okay.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And I hope I don't steal someone else's, but I went with Cassandra. Oh. And it's just a light spritzer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
You win.
Okay. Cool. And then also I wanted to do the Vashta Narada and just any good dark beer because it goes well with chicken wings.
Oh. Yeah.
Absolutely works.
And that's all I have for today. Thank you. I'll see you next week.
That's all you need. You know, tip your waitstaff. That was fantastic. Jay, who did you have for your one-off villain?
So Julie stole mine. It was the Vashta Narada.
Oh, okay.
But I went with a, it's called a Black Opal cocktail. And this is half a shot of vodka, half a shot of gin, half a shot of rum, half a shot of triple sec, half a shot of blackberry liqueur, half a shot of blue curacao, and then lemonade and sweet and sour. So it gives you this nice dark kind of it's a black with a little bit of blue where the ice would sit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it kind of fit. And you can't see through it. You don't know what you're getting into. And once you realize it, it's already too late.
Yep.
We only need blue curacao to make that happen. That's just saying. True.
Yeah, because of the last time we played this nonsense, I ended up with a bottle of blackberry brandy in the cabinet that doesn't get a whole lot of use. Now we have an opportunity to use some more of it, but oh my, blue curacao.
I love that in Sprite.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, drinking Windex. Here we go.
No, it goes great with your screwdrivers to make it a sonic screwdriver.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
All right, we're buying it, putting it on the list.
So I kept things classic on mine, and I went with the Meddling Monk because obviously. And the Meddling Monk to me is a well-prepared glass of absinthe because it's old. It requires elaborate planning. And even though it looks, you know, just innocuous and innocent enough on the surface, it's really there to ruin you. So, yeah, yep. I just felt that was appropriate.
I accept that.
So, your
that checks out.
Your contributions, everybody, are absolutely welcome, whether they be, you know, just tweet us, email us, you know, comment on the episode itself. You know, heck, throw your drink lists in iTunes. They love that. In your iTunes comments and say, yeah, you know, yes. Cass is all right. You know, bleh, 3 out of 5 stars. But let me tell you all about the drinks I'm making. Yeah, that's fantastic. That the algorithm absolutely adores that sort of stuff. And we still have a few more of these to scatter across the months ahead because we haven't done the companions. True companions. Mm-hmm. Then we could also do friends of the doctor. We go a lot of places with mm-hmm. these things. So yeah, there's still don't empty out your cabinets just yet.
Next week we're going to be coming back with our Torchwood rewatch with season 2, episode 11, titled Adrift.
Right. Coming to the close of season 2, we've got mysteries. I like the fact that there's the premise of this is written right into the pun of the title, Adrift, and it's all about stuff, the rift starting to go berserk. So the only thing I remember about this one is Police Constable Andy is back. We haven't seen him in like 3/4 of a season, and we only saw him for like 30 seconds back in like episode 3 of this season.
Right. Didn't they walk by him and he goes,
Are you still here? No. <Got it. laughs> So we finally get a little bit more of Andy, so I'm glad to see him.
You know what? That is something. He was not invited to the wedding. Who made that guest list?
Ooh, that's right. Oh, maybe things aren't doing well with the friendship with Andy.
We're about to find out.
Yeah.
What happens when you don't speak to him for a year?
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Your work is so important, isn't it? Torchwood.
Well, this has been episode 417 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, I'm going to go and give my liver a rest. It hurts.
And this is Kira saying, even if you take a glass of water between each round, this game is going to kill you.
And this is Julie saying, moisturize me.
We'll see you next week.
I'm Lizzie.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Want to keep the conversation going? You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, or just send us a good old-fashioned email to feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. You can also give us a phone call at 754-225-5477. That's 754-CALL-GPR, and you may hear your voice on a future episode of the show. Everything's got to end sometime, otherwise nothing would ever get started. Join us next week for a brand new episode.
Jacob Hansen. Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2021. We'll see you next week.